This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And I know when we start the show, it's supposed to be pleasantries and good morning, Chris Canty, and good morning, Rick DiPietro, and how are you guys? I can't go around the horn. I can't be positive. I can't be optimistic. Chris, you guys told me on Friday, last Monday, I was incensed at the Giants, and you guys talked me off this ledge. It's not that bad. They're competitive. They look decent. Don't freak out. The sky is not falling. Chris, what do you say a week after you talked me off said ledge last Monday?
I'm done with the optimism with the Giants, Dave. Like, I'm over it. It's done. Everything that we saw in the first two games, you know, I thought that there were some positive signs, some things you could hold on to. And let's be honest, they were competitive games, even though it was ugly football. Both of those games, the game against the Steelers, the game against the Bears, they were fourth quarter games. Yesterday, the game was over at halftime. Like, don't even look at the score. The score didn't matter. The game was over at halftime. I'm hearing the guys doing the game, and they're talking about the San Francisco 49ers essentially being in four-minute offense for the entire second half of the game. They finished the game on a 15-play, 92-yard drive. No resistance from the Giants defense at all.
With backup running backs, with third string, fourth string,
Jeff Wilson Jr. and James Hasty. Who are these? I don't even know who these people are.
They made look like Dan Marino yesterday. Do you know, and I know you do, and I say it, you know, rhetorically, the Niners didn't punt the football yesterday, Chris. They didn't punt the football yesterday.
And guess what? The Giants didn't punt until the fourth quarter, Dave. You know why? Because they were busy giving the ball to the 49ers. You're minus four in the turnover battle. Minus four. The Giants, we already talked about the Giants' lack of talent in certain areas, their deficiencies. You're not going to win many games in this league if you're minus four in the turnover battle. It's not going to happen. Even if you're playing against the 49ers practice squad, which you were.
Disgraceful. I have no other word to use to describe what we saw yesterday, and that was disgusting. And I said it last week, and again, both of you attacked me and said, it's too early, it's not fair. Dave Gettleman has done this. Chris, this roster is not built to even almost compete in this league right now. And you look at the moves he's made, we have to start thinking about who is going to be the next general manager of this team. We laugh at the Jets, and we'll get to the Jets, and they are a joke, and they are disgusting. But the Giants were supposed to be the team that was at least somewhat competent. 3 weeks in, I don't feel like they're remotely confident. Chris, all I feel is like this is just another – they're 9-26 since Gettleman has taken over. 9-26, Chris. They're 12-40 in their last 52 games, if you include the playoff game against the Packers.
You are what your record says you are, Dave. And Dave Gettleman has got to wear that. He's got to wear it. There's no way around it. I mean, one of the worst decisions that he made was trading for Leonard Williams and giving up a third-round draft pick. And Leonard Williams actually showed up and got a sack yesterday. And you know what the Giants turned around and did on the very next play? You had an illegal contact by Darnay Holmes.
And on third and first one down and third, on third and 22? 22.
Third and 22. You can't make it up, Dave. But it's too many of those mistakes, untimely penalties. I mean, the one that Darius Slayton had, the holding penalty down the field when Daniel Jones has a 19-yard run for a first down. First of all, you wipe out the run, and you negate the face mask that the 49ers had on that play, which could have moved you closer to the goal line. Like, those are the little things that show up in a big way. The Giants had chances to make that a game. And at every single opportunity, at every single point in the game where you could have caught a break, you do the exact opposite. You don't even take advantage of what's presented to you by the opposing team. It's almost like every single game, no matter who the Giants play, the opposing team gives them opportunities and the Giants can't take advantage of them. Every single time. And then to compound it, you either have bonehead play calling or even worse, execution. Jason Garrett, what are you doing calling a reverse on the first drive of the game off of a toss action? Was that necessary? Was it really necessary? Daniel Jones looked pretty good. He was 3-for-3 and he had two completions for first downs before that happened. Why did you need to outsmart yourself and call that particular play?
Because they're a bad team. That's the truth. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They're bad. You know, we said, oh, they're going to be competitive, and they're going to get to 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 wins, and we love Joe Judge and blah, 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 and you can blow it out. You know what, Chris? We're 3 weeks in. It's done. This is not a team that's going to win games. You think they're going to go and compete against the Rams? The Rams are going to put 40 points on the board. And then the Cowboys are going to score a ton of points. I mean, this team is going to win two, maybe three games. They're done in September again. It's the same song and dance, and I am sick of it. I am sick of it. It's the same thing every single season for the last five. They haven't gone to the playoffs in years. They haven't won a playoff game in a decade. It's disgusting. This was a once proud franchise that is now the laughing stock of the NFL.
That's the best way to put it, Dave. It's a laughing stock. And save the Jets, this is the worst team in the NFL. It is. I don't know how many games the Giants are going to win. I don't know what I was smoking when I gave my preseason forecast and said the Giants could be 7-9, 8-8 if everything went the right way. Like, I know that was before the Saquon Barkley injury, but Dave, I don't know that Saquon Barkley makes that big of a difference.
He didn't do this anything. They can't run the ball. Chris,
this team, Dave, this team is awful. They're awful. Dave, it's hard to watch. Watching the New York Football Giants is a chore. It's taxing.
Tell me about it.
It takes everything out of me.
It's taking years off my life. I am slowly perishing watching this football team take the field every Sunday. Chris, you said it. It's horrible. They're not competitive. They're gross. It's unwatchable. I mean, he used this, and I say he, Dave Gettleman, used this phrase of hog mollies. When do we get to see the hog mollies? Really? I mean, you look at the line, you say, well, you know what, Thomas should be good, and the guard should be good, and the right tackle is a competent guy, and the center's not great, but they can't run the ball. I mean, outside of Daniel Jones, their leading rusher had 10 yards yesterday, Chris. We say Saquon Barkley, it's not Saquon Barkley's fault. They put him in no position to rush the football. They're terrible.
Yeah, they can't run the ball, Dave. They get no movement at the point of attack. I mean, I can't tell you all the different attempts that Dave Gettleman has had at trying to retool this offensive line, and nothing that he seems to do ever works. I mean, you look at Andrew Thomas, high draft pick. Will Hernandez, high draft pick. Kevin Zeitler, you bought him over in a big trade. I mean, you made moves to try to fortify that group, and it's still bad 3 years later. It's still bad. Is the offensive line markedly better than what we saw in 2016? Is it?
No, I know.
No, it feels like it's the same, or if anything, it's worse.
But wasn't that his
mantra?
And then
you have a quarterback that's turnover prone, Dave. And I know I like to poke fun at Evan Ingram and saying that only bad things happen when you try to get Evan Ingram the football. But yesterday, the mistakes that Daniel Jones made, you just can't make those.
And it's the same mistakes over and over and over.
The flip that he had to Evan Ingram was a bad toss. It was kind of behind him. But I mean, the interception that he threw when he was targeting Evan Ingram on that option route, you can't throw that ball if you're an NFL quarterback. Dave, the 49ers were sitting in a cover two defense, clear as day. There wasn't even a pre-snap disguise by him. At that point, I don't think they even cared because it didn't matter. Fred Warner's looking at Daniel Jones like he's just staring at him. Daniel Jones, you know you got zone coverage, so you're going to have seven defenders that are in coverage. Guess what? If they're in zone, that means that seven sets of eyes that are looking at you. If you're staring down your receiver, where do you think the defenders are going to break on the ball? They're going to break on the guy that you're throwing to. Fred Warner cuts it, interception. How can you do that? You can't make those kind of mistakes, especially at this point in your career. You can't do it. It's unacceptable. What was that, the 17th start in the National Football League?
Yeah.
You can't do it.
14 last year, something like that, and then he's made three.
You can't do that, Dave. You can't do that. I can't make any excuses to try to defend Evan Ingram. That's absolutely ridiculous.
It's brutal. You know what, Chris? You know, we talked about talent. They don't have a lot of talent, and this is years. I mean, they took Barkley, they took Jones, they took Dexter Lawrence, they took Andrew Thomas, they took Xavier McKinney. At what point do you start to see a team that has an idea, a semblance of being a respectable football team? Chris, we've seen three games. We both know it. They're going to win. I mean, they play Washington twice. They play Philadelphia twice. Those seem to be bad, bad football teams. They played the Bengals. But I'll say this, Chris. I've watched the Bengals play three games. They look a hell of a lot better than the Giants do right now.
Well, the Bengals look a lot more competitive than the Giants do. I mean, if you look at the Bengals games, I mean, the Thursday night game, maybe you could say they were out of it midway through that fourth quarter. But, I mean, they were right there with the Chargers in week one, and they played the Eagles to a tie on the road yesterday. So, I mean, the Bengals are more competitive than the New York Giants are.
We look at the Lions. We left the Lions. Oh, they, you know, DeAndre Swift drops out. Well, they go into Arizona, and they compete, and they win. I mean, outside, and we'll get to them, outside of the Jets, Chris, the Giants look like the most non-competitive team of all of them. The Bears at 3-0, and the Falcons, even though it's ungodly the way they find ways to lose games, but you know what? They compete in games until there's about 5 minutes to go. Watching the Giants is a chore. We both said it's a chore, and they are 3 weeks in, another season. It's another joke of a year.
Dave, listen, the Falcons and the Vikings are both 0-3. I would love to get R.J. Bell on the phone just to figure out what the line would be if either of the New York teams played the Falcons or the Vikings. There would be no doubt in my mind that that's at least a touchdown favorite.
At least
a touchdown favorite.
They would destroy both of these teams right now.
Right.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests on DCRP via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And look what the cat dragged in. A couple minutes late, but he's here. And there's only good to talk about with New York football. Good morning, Rick DiPietro.
Yeah, it's New Jersey football, Dave.
Yeah.
New York football's undefeated.
We're doing that now. We're riding the Buffalo Bills coattails.
I'm taking my cues from the Jets and the Giants. Not showing up.
Oh, man.
It's embarrassing, man. I mean, what else should you... I mean, they should be relegated out of the NFL and be forced to scrimmage each other, that untelevised scrimmages against each other until they...
No one would watch it. No one would...
Well, you wouldn't have to. It shouldn't be on television. They should scrimmage each other. The Jets should play the Giants every week for the rest of the season, and it shouldn't be on television.
Now, last week, if you recall, and I think you did, I was very upset after that loss to the Bears, and you had this whole thing about, calm down, it's not that bad. You're competing in games. Now you get a team that you should be able to beat with second string guys in San Francisco. What do you say now?
I would say it's bad, Dave. I would say it's bad. But, I mean, again, listen, we weren't the only ones that thought the Giants would show up against an injury-ravaged team. I mean, what you saw yesterday from Kyle Shanahan, that right there is a brilliant offensive mind. Not Adam Gase.
Rico, I couldn't count the number of times we saw San Francisco 49ers players going into the end zone virtually untouched. Untouched. Like Jerry McKinnon in the first half, he is a Bob lead play at the 10-yard line. Gets into the end zone untouched, Rico. Untouched. Screen pass to Jeff Wilson Jr. Untouched into the end zone. Reversed by Brandon Ayuk. Untouched 19 yards into the end zone. They're not even putting a hand on him. How does that happen? This is the NFL. You're not supposed to be able to go 10 yards and be untouched.
I know, but you're talking to someone who witnessed it last week on the first play of the game.
Fair point.
So
you ask
how it can
same
be done.
Stadium.
Yeah, just watch the Jets play, and they'll show you exactly how it can be done.
Yeah,
I mean, it's brutal, man, and I feel bad.
My team too. I mean, I'm comparing the Giants now to the Jets, who don't even look like they belong in this league now.
But, Dave, that's the only team you can compare them to. You can't compare them to anybody else because everybody else is an NFL team. There are 30 other competent NFL teams. The Jets and the Giants do not qualify.
They are in a completely different stratosphere. You're right. It's embarrassing is what it is. New York football is an absolute joke. And, Rick, it's Gettleman. I mean, he has done... And I know that nobody wants to bash him or haven't wanted to for a while. It's time. He has done a horrendous job. I said it earlier before you hopped on. They're 9-26 in the Dave Gettleman era. 9-26, Rick.
I don't disagree. I mean, what he's done so far with this team, I mean, I will say this, though. I mean, you know, Bradbury, I mean, he was decent yesterday. It looks like a pretty good signing. Martinez was decent. I mean, there were guys that actually, I mean, the guys that he signed this offseason were okay. I mean, but with this team is rebuilding, though, Dave.
Kyler Fackrell was awful.
Rebuilding?
He was
how many
awful.
Years are you rebuilding for? The Cardinals were rebuilding. Now they're rebuilt. You rebuild for a couple of years. You shouldn't be at the beginning stages of rebuilding 3 years in.
Yeah, but we said this at the time, though. He took this job. He was given this job because he was told by ownership, try to make it work with Eli, and that set you back. And you made decisions based on trying to get a couple more years out of Eli. And it failed miserably. And now you're in a position where, I mean, this team's not very good. And yesterday felt like the first game, you know, of the three games where they let go of the rope.
Yeah, and now you worry about that continuing to be a theme throughout the rest of the season, Rico. Like these next 13 games, you just hope that Joe Judge's message doesn't fall on deaf ears. But we both know... When you're not winning games, when you don't get tangible results, that act kind of wears thin. you know, taking the names off of the back of the practice jersey, starting practice over, all of that stuff. That's all well and good as long as you're winning. But as a head coach, when you're pulling those kinds of stunts and your team is losing and being non-competitive like we saw yesterday, yeah, everybody's going to check out on that. And then that's going to put the Giants in a tough spot. Because, I mean, if you're ownership, you know you're probably moving on from Dave Gettleman, but how the hell do you sell Joe Judge to the next general manager if this team goes 2-14 or 1-15? How do you do that? You can't. You can't do it.
You can't. I mean, the answer to your question is you can't. And you're in a league right now where, I mean, because no OTAs, no training camp, no, you know, no pads or limited pads, no preseason games, you know, the tackling's been brutal. Defenses haven't been great. Teams can't help but score points. And we got two teams in New York that can't. The New York Jets got outscored by 9 points by the Colts defense.
The defense dominated.
We'll get to the Jets. I mean, that's another form of pathetic football.
Dave, you had the ball. Yeah. The Giants had the ball for 7 minutes in the first half.
Seven minutes they had the ball against a defense that didn't have, I mean, multiple star players there.
Yeah. 49ers were down 10 starters yesterday.
I mean, if you go through it, it's laughable to look at what they didn't have. They didn't have their starting quarterback. They didn't have their starting running back. They didn't have their second string running back. They didn't have their best defensive player. They didn't have their second best defensive player. They didn't have one of their corners. They didn't have their starting tight end. It didn't matter. I mean, you could have used any tight end and they were going to roam free in that Giants secondary yesterday. And you're right. Bradbury's decent. The second corner is ungodly no matter who it's going to be.
Yotam or Ballantyne, both of them are awful.
Ballantyne.
Both of them are awful.
And then it's just stuff like, you know, Ballantyne receives the ball 7 yards
deep. What is he doing?
Kickoff. I'm coming out, baby. Look out.
He gets tackled to the 14-yard line. I have that in my notes. What are you doing, man? Just take the knee. Take it at the 25. I mean, you got enough problems as it is. Start trying to be the hero. Then he takes stupid penalties. I mean, third and 22. It's just stupid, man. It's just not fundamentally good. It's brutal. It's painful to watch. I mean, you guys said, Chris said it, 10 starters. I mean, it's their best players. I mean, look at Nick Mullins' stat line right now.
He looked like Dan Marino yesterday.
He looked amazing.
Unbelievable. I mean, you got your two best running backs out. You got your tight end out. You got your best wide receiver out. I mean, defense is ravaged. The secondary was already a mess. You got no Bosa. You got no Thomas. I mean, Jordan Reed ends up spraining his ankle, on the turf. So he's gimped up. I got to watch Brandon Ayuk running around, I mean, wide open. It's gross. Daniel Jones can't help but turn the football over.
There's not a positive thing that you can look at from yesterday and say, okay, at least we have this. At least the first 2 weeks, in the fourth quarter, they were involved in the game. Come on. You knew at halftime that game was over. It was 23-7, the time of possession. This is the Giants? This is what we've come to have to deal with, the Giants fans? As repulsive as what it is, Chris. It's repulsive football.
Yeah, it's awful, Dave. I mean, the 49ers had the ball twice as long as the Giants did. I think time of possession was 39-44 to 20-16. That was bad. And you're right. The Giants, defensively, I don't know what they're doing. Outside of James Bradbury, that secondary is terrible. Jabril Peppers getting banged up yesterday didn't help matters. There was one play at the end of the first half. I think it was right after the Daniel Jones turnover. He threw the interception trying to hit Evan Engram. The Giants rushed 3 D linemen and dropped 8 in coverage, and Jerick McKinnon runs scot-free down the middle of the field, gets the ball down to the 6-yard line. It's a 26-yard completion, Dave, and the Giants got 8 guys in coverage, and ain't nobody around the running back. Nobody. How is that kind of stuff even possible? See, to me, that's the stuff that I point to and say that's all coaching. I mean, you can talk about, okay, the players are terrible, they have no talent, but there's no way you have 8 guys in coverage, and there's nobody. I mean, nobody around the running back, and you're sitting in zone. It's not even man-to-man coverage. You're sitting in zone. 8 guys. Nobody around them. That kind of stuff is unfathomable to me, Dave. I just don't know what the Giants are. Listen, we talk about this with the Jets. I got to say it about the Giants, too. What the hell are they doing during the course of the week in preparation? Because guess what, Dave? You ain't got to prepare. You ain't got to practice hard to go out there and do what they did yesterday.
Yeah, they couldn't have looked worse, really. They could not have looked worse than they did yesterday. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCRP or via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You'd think this next soundbite that we're going to play could be 14 minutes and 37 seconds because the description is from Joe Judge, what needs to be fixed. Fortunately for us, it's only 22 seconds. Let's take a listen.
There's enough things on all sides of the ball that we've got to correct right now. We don't ever want to have turnovers. We don't ever want to have penalties. We don't ever want to have mental errors. All right. But look, offensively, our job is to execute. Defensively, we don't choose when we go on the field. Our job is to respond whenever we're put on the field in whatever situation. So again, you know, there's enough to go around, starting with coaching. So we're going to make sure we look at this, we get in depth with it, and we improve, you know, everyone across the board.
I don't even know what to say. I hear just a lot of blah, 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 blah.
The Niners didn't punt, Dave. The Niners did not punt.
I know.
Yeah,
not
about
one
it,
time.
Yeah.
The punter didn't need to come back from West Virginia. It could have just gone home.
Your running backs ran for 17 yards.
I don't know what to say. I really don't.
It didn't feel like San Francisco thought that the game was ever in doubt. You know what I'm saying? Like, just watching them play that game, like, they never felt threatened by the Giants. There was no urgency. They just went out there and they executed like it was practice. And, I mean, the way that Kyle Shanahan was dialing it up, the way they were blocking it up, hat on a hat, like, that's what it felt like. There was nothing that anybody could do. And then offensively, the Giants, they can't get out of their own way, Dave. They can't continue to sustain drives. They can't put plays together. Like, coming out of halftime, they had another solid start. He was like, okay, here we go, 13-play drive. Maybe we got something here. No.
Field goal.
You end up having to settle for a field goal.
And then what? They get the football right down the field, touchdown. Game
touchdown.
Over.
Touchdown.
Game over.
Game over.
Game over. Wrap it up, put a bow on it, and let's go home. Because that's what it is. But you know what? To sit here and analyze the same garbage every week, it's bigger than that. It is. There's a lack of talent on this football team. And whose fault is that? I mean, look at what they've invested into this offensive line. I know that Nate Solder's not here, but they've invested the fourth overall pick and an early second-round pick and a free agent at right tackle, and they made a trade for the right guard. I mean, they just locked up the center to a long-term deal. This offensive line is putrid. They're hideous. It's unwatchable. It's the same thing over and over and over. The one thing he sold us when he took this job is hog mollies. I'm going to fix the offensive line. Rick, when does that happen? At what point do they fix the offensive line?
I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, I definitely think it hurts that there's no Nate Solder, and you have Andrew Thomas now, you know, as a rookie with the, you know, kind of offseason that they, or lack of offseason that they had, and you're going to stick him at left tackle. I don't think that helps. They can't run block, which makes no sense. I mean, they can't run block at all. I mean, it's almost embarrassing. I mean, your best running back yesterday was Daniel Jones. I mean, that's really where the crux of your offense came from, was him running the football. I mean, those are the splash plays that you had yesterday. I can't answer that question, Dave. I don't know. Because it should be trending in the right direction, and unfortunately, it doesn't feel like
not.
It's going that way.
Like, no. Honestly, and Chris asked me before you hopped on this morning. He said, "Are we any different than 2016 with the offensive line? Are we?" I mean,
well,
it
I think
seems
the other thing
like
too,
it's
though,
equally
but
bad to what it was.
I always go back to this though, Dave, and sitting there, you know, during the course of yesterday, watching all these games, and you know, seeing the kind of success that, you know, Josh Allen is having, you know, because they added, you know, Steph Diggs and like all these. You know, all these young quarterbacks with all these different weapons, you know, they have that one guy that can dictate, you know, fronts and coverages from the defense. Mm-hmm. When you lost Saquon Barkley, you know, even if he's not having a big day running the football, he is a threat to hit a home run at any point, right? So you do as a defensive, you know, as a defense have to worry about him. They don't have anyone like that now that he's gone, which only makes it harder on Daniel Jones and that offense to move the football. They're in the same predicament the Jets are in right now, unfortunately. Nothing on that team scares you at the moment.
Nothing. Nothing.
I hear you on that, Rico, but I don't know, man. I feel it, like Dave said, I think it goes way beyond talent at this point. It does, man, because I get that there were no OTAs, there were no preseason games and all of that, and you got a young quarterback. But listen, Jacksonville got a young quarterback in Gardner Minshew, and the Jags look a hell of a lot more competitive than the Giants or the Jets do right now. And who does he have to work with? I don't know, man. Like, I think about where Big Blue is at right now. This was a proud organization. I can't believe how far it's fallen, how fast it's happened. Like, I don't understand. Dave, they've been trying to fix it for 3 years.
Years.
And it feels like it's worse than when they started to try to fix it. They look low key. They could be a 2-14, 1-15 team.
They could.
That's not off the table.
We joke. we joke about the Jets grabbing Trevor Lawrence at the end of the season. If you're the Giants and you have the worst pick in the NFL, the worst record in the NFL, and Daniel Jones continues to look awful and turn the football.
Oh, you got
to
do it, Dave. You got to do it. I don't think there's even a choice. I don't think it's up for debate. I don't think that's – if the Giants or the Jets have the first overall pick, they're going to draft Trevor.
Because you know if you wind up with the worst pick and you're the Giants, the worst record and you're the Giants, something has gone horribly wrong with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and it's starting out that way, Dave, with all of the turnovers, that continuing to be an issue. Last year was just with the fumbles, you know, getting, you know, strip sacks in the pocket. But now it's graduated to throwing the ball to the other team. And you know how I feel about that. Like, when your quarterback starts doing that kind of stuff, like the interception right before halftime and gifting the 49ers 3 points, like, when you start doing that kind of stuff, like, that's when you got to think, you know what, maybe we didn't hit on the quarterback. Maybe we did reach for Daniel Jones. He looked good his rookie year, but we knew he would look good because he was well-coached down at Duke. We knew that, but after teams start to watch film on him, after you get a book on him, you see what he does well, what he struggles with. When you continue to see the turnovers and those types of mistakes, it's on the board. It's a question as to whether or not the Giants have their franchise guy.
You feel worse about him right now than you did a month ago.
Yes.
A lot worse about him right now than he did a month
ago. A lot worse, Dave, because the mistakes that he's making now, he shouldn't be making in his second year.
I mean, you stare 0-5 at the face, right? Like, you're at the Rams, and then you're at the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, so they're going to get the doors blown off them in L.A. and in Dallas. That's not even a question.
And now you have a team. I mean, what do you think the defensive front from Washington is going to do against this team if Chase Young is back and healthy?
If Chase Young is back and healthy from that groin, yeah, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem.
So I don't know that you can look at any game they have on the schedule and say, okay, well, that's a win. I mean, the Bengals,
I don't know. Dave, I don't know where the Giants' first win is coming from. I don't. That's not hyperbole. I don't know where it's coming from.
It's a shame they don't play each other, the Giants.
But, Dave, here's the crazy thing. We're not even in October, and I know that the Giants won't play any meaningful games here on out.
Nope.
Not one.
Nope. Again.
Not one. It's over. The season's over.
And this is not, you know, the first time we've seen this. This is now the trend. This is what we are. This is just a bad organization. You know, we joke about it. We say, you know, all these championships and this proud tradition and all those things were true, Chris, but they're not true anymore. It's not true now. It doesn't stand the test of time. It hasn't.
But you know what, Dave? The hope is that ownership sees how bad it is and they will hire the general manager and give him the autonomy to do his job. Like, hire the GM and get out of the way. No more of this, oh, we want somebody that knows how we do business, and, you know, we want somebody that's familiar with the organization and the Mara and the Tisch family being involved. No more of that. You need to go out. You need to hire the very best general manager that you can, somebody that can build a foundation for sustainable success and allow them to do the damn job.
But why should
that
mean, I believe...
That means if they want to fire Joe Judge... Get rid of Joe Judge.
But why should I believe that they'll do that?
Dave, you're the worst team in football the last 3 years.
I know.
At this point, you can't be in denial anymore. You're the worst team in football. You're even worse than the Jets the last 3 years. Your program is worse than any other program in the National Football League. This thing stinks to high heaven. You got to find somebody to fix it, and you got to get the hell out of their way. That has to happen.
You know,
we're done with the half measures, Dave. Right now, we're in extreme circumstances. And you have to find somebody that knows what they're doing and allow them to do the job. Get out of their way. Give them a blank checkbook. Let them do what they need to do. And guess what? If this team doesn't finish better, if the second half of the season isn't more competitive than the first half of the season, in my opinion, it shouldn't be off the board that you fire Joe Judge and you allow your next general manager to hire the head coach of his choosing. If that's what it's going to take, then so be it.
It is so
bad.
I'm
not blaming Joe Judge for it, but that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Arizona, a few years ago, they gave Steve Wilks 1 year. They ended up firing him, hiring Cliff Kingsbury. Seems like that was the right decision now.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I'm just saying, if that's what you have to do if you're the Giants, then that's just what it is. You have to get past this, oh, we don't do that, and we don't want to be in cycles of hiring and firing head coaches. Dave, you're on your third head coach in 4 years.
Yeah, you stink. You're the laughingstock of the NFL. You're the worst. You want to know how bad it is? Rick, listen to this. Of anyone I know, you'll take the most enjoyment with this. The read I have to do right now for my computer career, incorporated, baked into it, it makes fun of the Giants. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Give it to me.
The Browns are over 500 for the first time in 90 weeks. The Giants now hold the top spot for not having a winning record for 55 weeks.
Wow.
Stats incredible. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. You are now baked into copy as far as being the laughingstock of the NFL.
Yeah, that's where you're at. And my Jets are a close second. Unfortunately.
Wait to hear the 10 o'clock read. All right. I mean, it is just, I don't even know what to say.
But here's the thing, though. The unfortunate part in this whole situation is that the shrapnel of both of these messes is going to be Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones because of the situations that they're in.
Yeah.
This is not how you develop a young quarterback.
No. This is the opposite of what you do.
Well, neither one of them are functional organizations, Rico.
No, I get it, but that's why I said at the time. Remember when the Jets? When was it? What draft was it? Was it the Deshaun Watson draft that everyone said
that would be 20? I think that's 2017.
Yeah, it was the
that was the Jamal Adams draft. So 2017.
Yeah.
2017.
Jets should take a quarterback. Jets should take a quarterback. You have to be ready as an organization. You have to be ready to take the quarterback because otherwise you put yourself in a situation where it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is because there's only so many of those quarterbacks that can, you know, deal with bad coaching and lack of talent. Those are the real generational talents at quarterback. Those are few and far between, right? Like that, we don't always see those. So you got to have your young quarterback in the position to actually grow and mature and have success. And right now, the Jets and the Giants are showing you exactly how not. They're showing you how to ruin a young quarterback.
This is the blueprint for it. You want to ruin a quarterback? Watch what we're doing closely because you're going to do a great job to ruin the young quarterback.
You know what it is, though, Dave, we've been looking forward to sports coming back and football season in particular for a really long time.
Take it away.
And this is what New York football fans get. You get the Giants and the Jets, a combined 0-6. Dave, you know what? I don't know that if you put these two teams together that you could field a competitive team.
I don't think you could.
Take it away again.
I mean, it's awful. You right. Laugh. Like, you say, oh, you're broken. I'm so broken. I've been dealing with this for years.
Dave, I'm starting to feel the pain. Dave, I'm starting to feel the pain, too. I'm embarrassed.
It's horrible.
I'm embarrassed as a former Giant that's what that organization is putting out there.
At least when there was no sports, it's like you'd wake up, it was stress-free, right? You just go about your day. Now it's like, all right, you're all excited. You can't wait. You have breakfast. You turn on the TV. 1 o'clock comes, and they give you nothing. There was
nothing,
not one moment of that game yesterday. You're like, okay, here we go. Are you doing these pitches to Evan Engram? He stinks. Jones stinks. Everyone stinks. They're terrible. They're a broken organization right now is what they are.
Yeah, but listen, I actually feel bad. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for either guy, but I actually feel bad for Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones at the moment because of what they're having to deal with.
I don't know. I'm waving the white flag.
I don't know. They're playing their part in it, man.
Yeah.
They really are.
No, I understand it, but I mean, not every quarter, not every player can just step right in and have immediate success. Most guys have to be in the right system with the right talent around them. The Jets are bereft of talent. Bereft.
I mean, the Giants aren't far off.
And that's the point, though. I mean, that's the point. Look at the start of Eli Manning's career. I mean, he was a turnover machine, too. Like, I get it. I mean, but...
Yeah, Rico, but here's the thing. I can understand if you're confused and they catch you with a coverage that you hadn't seen as a young quarterback and you throw an interception. I can understand that. You know what I can't understand? It's a simple pitch to the tight end on a reverse. How can you not do that? How can you not?
Yeah, but what are you pitching it to the tight end for in the first place?
I agree, Rico. I agree. It was a terrible play call. Terrible play call. I'm not taking that aside. You can't pitch the ball?
Like, protect these guys, though. I mean, protect these kids.
I'm with you, man. I am with you.
I feel like
that
I'm watching.
Not Jason. Go ahead.
I feel like I'm watching the Titanic. And rather than let Leo jump on the door so he can survive, they're like, no, this door, I'm all set.
Live a good life.
Yeah, okay. Live a good life.
Yeah. All right.
He just drowned.
See ya. It's cold.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I'm with you. I understand that this is not the best environment to develop a young quarterback because both of these organizations lack the infrastructure to do so. But these quarterbacks have got to be better, man. There are just some things that you should know going into year two or year three. And based on what we've seen from these guys, I haven't seen any improvement. In fact, I would say that both quarterbacks have regressed.
They absolutely have.
And right, part of that has to be on them.
Not a good day for you either with your Dallas Cowboys, who really should be sitting here with the Giants and the Jets at 0-3. Yankees-Indians is the matchup, so great, great pitching matchup tomorrow night. Bieber and Cole and games 1 and 2 you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN starting right after the Michael Kay Show at 7 o'clock. So you go nowhere, right? You have Kay up till 7, then first pitch Yankees and Indians games 1 and 2 Tuesday and Wednesday. Let's go to the phones, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, DCR. Canty, I completely agree with what you're saying. I think I'm 50-50 on Joe Judge right now, but everybody else needs to clean house. Dave Gettleman put together with the worst product in the NFL on the field now, currently. It's definitive. He gave us the worst product. But also, I directly linked this to also Jason Garrett's fault. What is Jason Garrett's system, and what does he need his entire 8-10 years in Dallas? He needed a top five offensive line. He needed a top five running game. He needed great skills positions, and he needed an above average quarterback just to be solid. So you bring in that. We need somebody. Look at the other side. You look at the Panthers. Look at that. They lose Christian McCaffrey. They still win against a good Chargers team that almost beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, but you got a veteran quarterback, man. I mean, that's not apples to apples. Teddy Bridgewater's a veteran quarterback.
It doesn't matter.
What you just explained is what a young quarterback needs. Forget what Jason Garrett needs. It's what a young quarterback. If you don't have a great defense, which the Jets and the Giants, neither of them have it, you actually have to have a decent offensive line, the ability to run the football, and some skill position players.
They came in the fourth overall best defense coming in against the 49ers, and they held their own pretty well in that first half.
Who did?
They were just all out of the field all
the Giants did? The Giants did? Because they couldn't get off the field on third down.
Ever.
Ever.
They're the best team on first down in the entire NFL, and they're the worst on third down. The worst.
Every single player was out, but he can scheme his way to 30 points with backup. We need someone young. We need a clean house. You need someone who can take talent and maximize it. Jason Garrett will never be able to do that, and he's never has.
Well, Jason Garrett, let's not forget now, Jason Garrett took a fourth-round draft pick and started him at quarterback and won 13 games. Jason Garrett was also down there in Dallas when they developed Tony Romo into a starter. So I think Jason Garrett knows what the hell he's doing in terms of offense. But there's a bigger issue going on with this Giants team. It's the culture is bad, and I don't want to pin it on Joe Judge, but I think this is a direct result of having drafts where you don't hit on picks, you don't develop your young players, and now they're guys that you're relying on, but they're not executing out there on the field. So, I mean, you could point at Jason Garrett as being to blame. You could point at Dave Gettleman being to blame. I think all of them have a part to play in this. But ultimately, it's because the organization has been dysfunctional for the better part of this last decade.
That's true.
And you got to find somebody that can build the infrastructure where you can develop a young franchise quarterback, where you can develop more of your young players and draft picks. That's what you have to have. The Giants don't have that right now. So you got to find somebody that can bring that.
No, that's the issue. I mean, for both of these teams, that's the issue. I mean, these players that you draft, do they get better? And most of them don't.
They get worse. Yeah.
I mean, you can say you missed on picks, but I mean, at a certain point, I mean, once you make the pick, that's only when it starts. The real work is once you've selected them and getting the best out of them. And neither of these teams seem to be able to do that at the moment. These guys aren't getting better. That's a real problem.
No, in fact, they're going the wrong way.
And you knew going into the season that there would be growing pains. I mean, you got a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach, and a new defensive coordinator.
All I wanted to do was look functional. That's all I like.
For the first 2 weeks, you did look functional.
Eh.
At least it hasn't been 3 weeks of this.
Yeah, Dave. You got to admit that. The first two games, they looked competitive.
They were competitive.
Yeah,
their offensive line looked awful. Their running game has been non-existent. They were. Yeah. I will give you, they were competitive. They were in the games. But I still had my concerns, and yesterday was my worst nightmare.
Yeah, yesterday was bad, Dave. I mean, the 49ers scored on 7 of their 8 possessions, and it would have been a perfect 8-for-8 had they not had the bobble snap on the field goal. Like, think about that. Like, the only possession where they didn't have a scoring chance was the last one when they took a knee.
That was actually my favorite play of the game, too.
How's that
highlight of the game.
But how is that even possible?
Well, no, I'm not talking about
it's
that
the
play.
NFL.
I'm talking about the one with the – because the snapper was just happening. He was in one yesterday.
He was terrible.
What was the bad snap, but then the face mask. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lorenzo Carter, right?
Yeah, that was my favorite. So you get to kick it again.
Yeah. Guys, take another chance because that's how bad we are. Let's go to Mark in New York. Mark, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Listen, after what I watched yesterday, it was a total nightmare. This is all Gettleman's fault. The offensive line is a freaking joke. Chris, is it possible this offensive line is as bad as any year they've had?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Sure, it's possible this is the worst version of the Giants' offensive line.
I mean, listen, 2018, I love Barkley. Great kid. You never should have picked a running back at 2. If you didn't like any of the quarterbacks, you should have moved back in the draft. How would Quentin Nelson look on that offensive line right now? Gettleman's to blame. He needs to go. It's been a disaster.
You're right. I mean, you're right. He's 100% right. Thanks for the call, Mark. Gettleman has been a disaster. And I didn't love the hire to begin with, but the Giants knew him, and they felt comfortable, and he didn't do a great job in Carolina. They got better when they moved on from him. But you know what? It's time. It's time. I mean,
this is years in the making, though. This is not just Dave Gettleman. This started back when they made the knee-jerk reaction to hire Ben McAdoo for some reason.
Yeah.
They wanted to rush to hire Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, because Philadelphia had a modicum of interest, so we got to hire him right off the bat.
Well, that's when Jerry Reese was playing the blame game with why the team was underachieving and trying to put it all on Tom Coughlin, as if the game had passed Tom Coughlin by. And really, it was failed draft picks from Jerry Reese that left you a gap in leadership in your organization, and it was an interruption in the culture because you did have a core guys that helped win you 2 Super Bowls, and then you didn't have players to replace those guys with when they aged out. So, I mean, it goes back to Jerry Reese, really. It really does. But
well,
the Giants compounded the problem by bringing in somebody from as the general manager with a part of the motivation being because he knew how they did business. Like, that's the part of it that just the Giants are going to have to move past that. The ownership is going to have to move past that and say, you know what? We need to bring in a fresh set of eyes, somebody that can look at the problems objectively and get them fixed. Because anybody that's had a hand in what the Giants have been for the last, decade? They don't need to be involved with where this team needs to be going for the next decade.
But aren't you, Chris, sick of we have comfort level because we know him and he's been within the organization. I mean, enough of it already. Go hire a guy that's going to be creative, ingenious, and is well-respected around the league. You don't have to have ties with him to bring him in and hire him and
make
him the
again,
next
GM. But again, you're right, but you put yourself in a weird spot now because you went out and let Dave Gettleman hire the head coach. So now whoever you think that guy is has to feel good about Joe Judge being his head coach.
Which that can't seen. Be that but Rick, that can't be a prerequisite for the job. That can't be. Not at this point. Not with how bad this thing is. Everybody is culpable in that organization for what this is, including Joe Judge.
Okay, but again, you're right. Dave was right. Now you're right. But again, the product of these decisions in the mess that you created is if that is the case. There's a GM that you love. He doesn't want Joe Judge as his head coach. Now you got Daniel Jones going into year 3 with a third head coach in a new system.
But see, that's my point, Rico. Whoever they hire as the next general manager, because let's face it, Dave Gettleman is out after this year. If it continues to trend the way that it's looked the first 3 weeks, he's gone. You got to go out and find the guy that you believe can get this organization turned around and allow him to do whatever he feels like he needs to do in order to get it fixed. If he wants a new head coach, so be it. If he wants a new quarterback, that's just what it is. Sucks for Joe Judge, sucks for Daniel Jones, but guess what? I'm tired of watching this product on the field year in and year out because it really sucks for Giants fans.
It's terrible. It's terrible, and they don't deserve it.
No. Some of the best fans in the world, and you've had an awful product. You've had an inferior football team, Dave. Inferior in every way. Talent, discipline, effort. This is not an NFL product that we're watching. No. Not yesterday.
No.
It's not.
No. They mailed it in. They didn't want to be there yesterday. Week three of the season, and they didn't want to be there yesterday.
Dave, see, to me, through the first 2 weeks of the season, it was clear that the Jets were less competitive than the Giants. But yesterday, I couldn't tell you. It's the flip of a coin. Who looked worse? I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, 2020 continues to move on, huh? To live on.
Maybe it was the Giants that didn't want to play on the turf. Maybe it was the Giants, not the Niners.
Seemed like. I mean, the Niners had nobody. They had nobody healthy. They still came out and destroyed the Giants.
Destroyed them. Yeah, that's
non-competitive. Let's take a step away from beating up on the Giants, and we'll get to the beating up on the Jets in a couple minutes. But first, we'll bring in Andy from Merrick to try to stump us today. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. Tough football time, but the Yankees are going to the playoffs.
Terrific.
They're facing the Cleveland Indians.
Limping.
So
limping.
We have four Cleveland Indian questions for you guys.
Ooh.
Starting with, the Indians organization were the first to hire a black or brown manager and the first to play a black or brown player. Name both of these trendsetters. Name both of these Hall of Famers.
Larry Doby, right?
Larry Doby's one. And the first manager?
Is it Frank Robinson?
Frank Robinson is
nice,
correct.
David. Correct.
Nice, Dave.
This recent Hall of Famer holds the Indians record with 52 home runs in one season. Name him.
Is that Tomey?
Jim Tomey is correct.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
Two for two. If you go to Progressive Field in Cleveland, they've retired number 455. Can you tell me what that's significant of?
For the fans.
It is the fans, 455 consecutive sellouts. And finally, a tough one. The last time the Indians had an AL Rookie of the Year winner was 30 years ago. Who won the award in 1990?
Was it Sandy Alomar?
Sandy Alomar Jr.
Nice.
Yeah,
baby. Pietro.
Four for four.
Guys,
that's impressive.
Try to stay healthy. Try to pick up your heads a little bit here.
Well, I was going to say Willie Mays Hayes, but that was
Willie Mays Hayes. Get down and do some of those push-ups. The manager in the Major League movies was the best.
He was the best. When Dorn brings over his contract.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
That's my favorite.
That's classic. It's classic.
Hey, by the way, this will cheer you up.
Nothing can cheer me up.
No, this will cheer you up. I mean, forget New York football. New York sports yesterday was brutal. I mean, I can't remember a worse day. I mean, Mets got shellacked. Lugo was terrible. The Yankees lose. But, I mean, the Yankees are lucky they have the fifth spot.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Because Toronto ends up losing.
If Toronto would have won yesterday, the Yankees would be the seven right now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, that's how close it was. I mean, they're limping into the playoffs, and then the football teams got demolished. Coaching, funny coaches. Have you watched any of Ted Lasso yet?
No, I heard it's good, though.
It's actually pretty funny, yeah. Watch the first couple episodes. It's pretty funny. I think you'll like it.
Check it out?
I would check it out. I think you'll like it.
Jason Sudeikis is in that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, the premise is a lot like Major League. That's why I bring it up. Like, right. You know, the owner now, like, the wife gets divorced from the husband. She takes control of the team. She wants the team to be really bad to stick it to the husband. It's kind of a similar premise, but it's soccer.
Let me give it a watch.
You'll like it.
Something positive. You know what I'm in the midst of watching right now?
Something on RedTube.
No. Jeffrey Epstein on Netflix. So I need
you
something.
It's like the
third highest ranking show on Netflix.
I know, but you like stuff like that. You like serial killer documentaries. No wonder why you need sports.
Yeah. To bring me away.
You go to some dark places, bro.
Very dark places. Very
I need you to get out of that.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Oh, by the way,
it's hard to get
question?
Out of that watching New York football.
Before we go to break, I was listening to your show on Saturday.
Okay.
Now, you said if the Giants lose and then Dallas turns around and loses, you won't feel as bad. Was that the case or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 100, I felt 100 bad with the Giants losing. And then with Dallas also losing, it takes not a lot. I mean, it's still an awful sting, but it takes just a little bit of it away. Yes, I cannot stand the Cowboys, 100%.
Yeah, I kind of lost a little. I lose a little respect to you for you.
Why
not? Because it should. I mean, the way your team looked, I don't care who else
lost.
Listen,
I'm not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm with you on that one, Rick.
It doesn't matter. It was awful.
I'm not holding my head high, but watching DK Metcalf catch that ball and then Prescott get intercepted at the end. Did it make me feel good? No. Did it make me feel not as awful as I felt? Absolutely.
How about the Eagles punting on fourth down in overtime?
How about that, huh? Why would you do that?
Because he doesn't.
Because you watched the offense for the first four quarters of that game. That was probably
the Eagles are done.
Let's
they
just not lose the
major
game.
Major trouble. Like the Cowboys,
the wheels are off for the
Winswagon.
The
Eagles are in major trouble. All right, we open the show breaking down the Giants, and Giants broke down themselves yesterday. Now we turn our attention to the Jets. And yeah, the Giants are bad, and the Jets might have said, "Hold my beer." I mean, Rick, I don't even know what to say. I mean, we sit here and we say Sam Darnold is put in a difficult position, and he is, but he was horrible yesterday. And I thought that the play that really changed any fortune of at least competing in this game was the
was
end
the
of the
zone.
First
end
half, down 17-7, and that interception in the end zone.
Yep.
Yeah, but before I could even get comfortable, it was 7-0. I mean, before I could even get comfortable, he throws a pick six.
Right. Well, that was him. Yeah, he was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, he was bad. I mean, no question about it. And if this, you know, God forbid this Jets team loses on Thursday, Adam Gase is going to get fired. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, the report was out there through ESPN's Chris Mortensen yesterday that Jets brass is monitoring the head coaching situation closely. We know what that means. You know, after Chris Johnson comes out and gives Adam Gase the vote of confidence after their week one debacle, we knew that it wasn't going to be long before we started hearing grumblings of when they were going to fire Adam Gase if the Jets didn't get a win. And now we're here. 2 weeks later. I mean, we knew this was coming, guys. It's not like this is something that wasn't expected. The Jets looked awful yesterday. Sam Darnold, I don't know how this is even possible, looked worse than he did the first 2 weeks.
Oh, he looked – yesterday was the worst performance of the year from Sam Darnold. He was brutal yesterday.
He was awful, Dave. He was awful. I mean, the pick six, the first one, it was just – it just speaks to the predictability of Adam Gase's offense. But, I mean, if you're Sam, you got to know you can't throw that ball. Like, you can't throw that ball. Like, Xavier Rhodes is just sitting there looking at you. You're staring down Lawrence Cager, who, by the way, didn't do a great job of stemming the route and try to at least threaten the corner that he was going to take the ball upfield.
Like, who was Xavier Lawrence Rhodes, Cager threatening?
Xavier Rhodes honest. Just sitting on the sticks, just sitting there.
Canty.
I'm going to wait for you to throw me the ball.
Let's be honest, Canty. Who's Lawrence Cager threatening? Come on. Let's be serious.
But Rick, here's the thing. You're right. He's not threatening anybody, but you don't make the cornerback backpedal even a little bit. Not just even a little bit. Like, Sam can't throw that ball. That's inexcusable. But, I mean, come on, man. There are certain things that you can do to help your quarterback just a little bit. Now, Sam should have graduated past the point where he's throwing that football. There's no way he should have let that ball leave his hands. But he throws a pick six, puts his team in a hole before things even got started. Now, they did respond and go on a 14-play, 88-yard
nice
drive where Sam was 6-for-8, and he had that nice touchdown throw to Braxton Berrios. That
beautiful
was a good
play.
Response. It was a beautiful play. Like, that's what you wanted to see. Okay, he made a mistake early on in the game, but at least the kid bounced back. You can make it a competitive game. But to your point, Dave, the interception that he threw in the end zone where he was once again targeting Lawrence Cager, that's another football that Sam just can't throw. We should be past the point where he's routinely making these types of mistakes. But we're not. Now, that's in part on him, but that's also on the organization and on the coaching staff. And you got to look at Adam Gase, because that's why Adam Gase was brought here, to bring out the best in Sam Darnold. Yet, all we see is Sam Darnold continuing to get worse.
I don't even know at this point who you even blame. I mean, and again, this is going to sound like an excuse. This is more reason to me. I mean, you lose Mekhi Becton, so you got no left tackle. You got no. I mean, the second you bring in his replacement, he takes a holding penalty. I mean, he gets beat on the safety. I mean, you got a new right. Your right tackle's out. You got. I mean, Braxton Berrios is your number one option. My favorite play of the game outside of McDougal doing the ole on fourth and goal with Jonathan Taylor. I love that.
Oh God.
You know my favorite play was, and I was ready to put a hole in my TV, was when the Jets are down 24-7. Lawrence Cager makes, I think it was a 16-yard reception, and then he proceeds to flex that. Come on, man. You're down 24.
The first down thing, yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't understand it. If I see another Jets or Giants player do that, I'm going to throw up, Rick. Because Damian Ratley did the same thing in the Giants game. I'm like, you're down 36-9. What are you doing? Makes no sense. God.
No, it's amazing.
Makes
to me.
No sense.
It's honestly, and you said it on the rejoin. I give Ray Santiago credit. That was a great rejoin. It's taxing. It legitimately is a chore.
It's exhausting,
to watch
isn't it?
Play.
I mean, watching for me, watching the Giants. For you, I imagine watching the Jets. It's painful. Like, you watch them because you love them. You watch them because it's what you do. You're a fan of this team, but you don't enjoy it. Like, not once yesterday was I like, oh, this is fun, this is great, this is enjoyable. It is out of tradition, and it is out of love for the team that you watch them. Because watching these games, Rick, are absolutely terrible.
No, I don't know, Dave, terrible may be you underselling it with how bad it is, in all honesty. I mean, it was from start to finish. I mean, you get things going with the pick six, and then, I mean, the fact that it's the game is so out of hand, and there's not even a thought that the Jets will ever get back into it. They pull Phillip Rivers and put in Jacoby. I mean, it's
for a
they bring
quarter.
In the backup quarterback. Yeah. I mean, you don't get any pressure on the quarterback. Your secondary.
Do you know
is
how
not
many? I saw this. This to me was the stat of the day. How many times they sacked/hit the Colts quarterbacks yesterday? Zero sacks. One hit of the Colts quarterbacks yesterday. One time they got to him to hit him.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers won't play an easier game this whole season.
No, in his career, he won't
play.
Will
not play an
easier game
this whole season.
There was one time, Rico. I think they had the ball at around midfield. It was a 3rd and 9 in the third quarter, and Phillip Rivers literally sat back in the pocket, nobody within 5 yards of him, for 4 seconds of game clock, which is a lifetime in the NFL. Like it's not even it wasn't even competitive. It's like he was throwing 7-on-7 in practice, Rick. Like that's how wide open
he
completes a pass to T.Y. Hilton. Like it's unbelievable.
I mean, Chris, that's what it feels like. It is. I mean, it's explosive play after explosive play. I mean, how many plays did they have yesterday? 20+ yards.
Yeah.
Whenever they wanted it.
What, they have 5? I think.
Yeah, I mean, you had. I got Mo Alley Cox running around free. I mean, it's a nightmare. And here's my favorite. Here's again. Couple stats that stand out. You bring up the sacks and hits. The fact that since the start of last season, 10 of the 12 Jets losses have been by double digits. That bothers me first and foremost. And then we spent all last season talking about how one of the positives of last season was when they had the first 15 scripted, the Jets seem offensively to have some semblance of an idea what they were doing. We're successful in those. And then once teams made adjustments, the Jets had no answer. Speaking of having no answer, I mean, that game, as bad as it was, it's 17-7 mm-hmm. at the end of the first half. The Jets actually moved like they were in third manageable. They actually moved the ball well in the first half
yes.
for them,
yep.
for the Jets.
Yes.
Colts, statistically, the best defense in National Football League for a reason. Why? Because we're going to go into the half, make some adjustments. Do you know that in the second half of that game yesterday, the Jets had 72 yards, 40 rushing yards and 32 passing yards in the second half.
They had 70 yards of offense in the second half in a throwaway
yards.
Half. In a half that was a route that became, a 30-point game. They had 70 yards of offense.
72 net yards, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they had.
Rich Cimini just tweeted, the Jets are minus 57 point differential through 3 games right now.
Yeah.
It's worse than that, though. They got the 2 touchdowns with in garbage time of those first
right.
2 games.
They could easily be minus 70. Easily.
Easily. If they lose on Thursday, Adam Gase is going to get fired. I'm telling you right now.
Doesn't he deserve to be fired, though? The way
yes.
that this team has looked throughout the course of this season? Like, doesn't he deserve to be fired?
They look ill-prepared.
Like, you can't even make the case that Adam Gase should keep his job. How can you make that? Like, you can't even make that argument. Like, he deserves to be fired. This team looks bad. Again, it's non-competitive. I mean, Dave, you look at it, the Colts defense scored more than both New York football teams combined.
Oh, the Colts defense?
They scored the same thing. They scored 16 points yesterday.
They had 2 pick-sixes and a safety.
And if you also, if you actually count the points that they didn't allow the Jets to score with that interception in the end zone, you could put at least 3 more. I mean, you could make it 19 if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could.
And again, and the Colts are not great.
But you know what? That's gonna be par for the course this season with both New York football teams. What we saw yesterday in that Jets game when Jacoby Brissett came in and played in the fourth quarter, that's what we're going to see. A lot of backup quarterbacks playing in the second half because these games are routes.
Or you can start your backup quarterback and still put up 30-plus points if you'd like.
Yeah, you can throw for 343 yards.
Choose whatever direction you want to go in.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh, maybe that's when we'll see Tua. Maybe that's when we'll see Tua when they play the Jets.
Oh, God. That's his debut. Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Oh, okay.
How do you think we're doing? How do you honestly think we're doing?
I'm sorry. That was a stupid question. I'm doing terrible. I'm doing absolutely terrible. We all just experienced another murder for the Jets. I mean, you say that in halftime it was a game, but internally for me, I thought it was over. As soon as Sam threw that pick six, I was like, that's it. And then we saw that nice touchdown, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs because it looks like we actually did something right. And then little do we know, we mess it up the rest of the way. I mean, it's absolutely a joke that every single week this team looks like it has no idea what it's doing. They don't look like they have any fire. They don't look like anything. Not a professional sport team. I honestly don't understand. This team drives me insane. They make no adjustments. They don't do anything. They ran the ball to the left side probably two times. After all week, you hear run the ball left, run the ball left. I don't even remember them running the ball at all to the left side. It was all right, right, right. And Sam just can't make these mistakes because he's already under a lot of scrutiny. And it's just a whole big mess. And the coach is a big bozo
the thing, though,
who doesn't know what he's doing either.
This is why I agree with you. And I feel the same way you feel. Is that
I love you, Rick.
I love you too, man. My biggest concern, and I've said this a couple different times, is when you drafted Sam out of USC, right? Hadn't played, hadn't had a lot of experience at the position. He was a linebacker in high school, right? But showed all this promise. And you saw that on the first touchdown, what an athlete he is. I mean, that's what he's capable of doing. Disgusting. You see flashes like that. But, Canty, you know I said this, is don't let this kid turn into Jameis Winston because he tries to do too much. He had the problem at USC, and when this kid, I mean, he tries to compete, and he tries to do too much, and he makes bad decisions, and now because the team stinks, it all falls back on him. And he becomes the whipping boy because it doesn't look like he's taking that next step. I told you, they were going to ruin this kid, and they're ruining him. Right?
Yeah, you said it the Friday after they drafted him.
Rick, you said it from the beginning, Rick, that they were going to ruin him. And you were absolutely right. You said if the team doesn't do what it needs to do, and it all started by not firing Bowles and bringing somebody in. Now this whole clown show is down burning to the ground, and I'm sick and tired. And I can't even imagine fans like Ira or something. They must be disgusted right
Ira's
now.
Ira's defeated. Thanks for the call, Omar. I mean, it's the first time Ira called us on Friday, and he's beaten. The Jets have beaten the fandom out of him.
Can I just read quickly one of the best tweets I've ever received?
Yes.
This is from Me Do This For You. The reason why they call Adam Gase the quarterback whisperer is because he tried to tell Peyton what to do, and Peyton told him to shut the bleep up, so Gase started whispering.
Stop it. I don't want to hear gentlemen laugh anymore. Can we strike that from the record, please?
I don't know how this gets fixed, though. I mean, that really is the unfortunate part.
The first step is firing the head coach. That happens. That's the first step. First step, fire the head coach, hold somebody accountable. Maybe under an interim head coach, you start to see a little more fire, a little more effort. Because that was the one thing that was probably the biggest indictment on the head coach yesterday, Rico. Like, after the first half of that game, I just saw a lot of quit out there on the Jets, on both sides of the ball. There was a lot of quit. Like, you could tell that they didn't feel like they had a chance to be competitive in that game because their head coach can't give them any answers. Their head coach can't come up with a path to victory. Week in, week out, when that happens, man, that just beats a football team down to the point where you see players look like they're apathetic. That's what it felt like in the second half of that Colts game. In the first half, okay, we're going to go out here and fight. We're going to try to put it in hyperdrive. Second half, they shut it down, man. You could tell, Rick, there was no fight at all.
They had nothing in the second.
Well, let me pretend. I'm not even surprised. That's the brutal part. I mean, I was surprised to see the Giants lay down yesterday because they were competitive in the first two games. Like, I'm not surprised to see that. I mean, the Jets have done it for the first all 3 weeks. They've laid down.
You know what the amazing thing is? You could almost argue that yesterday was the best Jets performance of the season.
for the first half of the game.
At least they showed you something. They had a drive when the game was still within reach. They tied it at 7. Right?
Like,
I'm not exaggerating.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? I honestly think what it is that when I listen to Adam Gase after the game, and he's like, "Well, in practice, the offense runs fine. We're not making a mistake." Well, it's because your defense stinks. If you're putting your bad offense against your bad defense, of course it's going to look okay. When you actually play against an NFL defense and an NFL offense, you start to see where the deficiencies are. Both sides of the ball are brutal.
Brutal. And now,
but I'm with Dave though. That game completely changes if you're able to get points on that drive in the second quarter rather
at
than
least
Sam
you go
throwing
into the
that
half
pick.
with a modicum of like, okay, we're competitive. We're in the game. We're within. You know, we have a chance. That was first down, I think, also.
Yeah, it was. Could tell that drive they were building some confidence, right? They had the pick wheel route to Berrios. They called, they threw a flag, but it wasn't OPI because it was within a yard of the line of scrimmage. So you felt like they were gaining some momentum and they were gaining some confidence, and that just all went out the window when Sam threw that ball in the end zone. Like, those are mistakes that your quarterback can't make. So while I do feel bad for Sam because the organization has done him no favors, like, he holds some blame in this mess that is the New York Jets.
And I've been very defending of Sam Darnold, but yesterday was a bad day for him. Because they actually did move the football, and he cost him a lot of points and early on, and he gave that game away. Now, I don't know that they would have won if he had played, really well, but it wouldn't have looked like that. He was bad yesterday. That was the worst game I've seen for him in a long time, Rick.
No, it wasn't good. But even at that point, I mean, you guys are correct. I mean, that was the biggest play of the game. I mean, not getting points on first and goal, that's huge. I don't disagree. But you go into the half where, I mean, Indy misses a field goal. You're only down 10 points. And then you come out in the second half and look like that? They did nothing in the second half. He had 72 yards in the second half, Dave.
And did they make one adjustment? Like, was there one thing you looked at in the second half? You're like, okay, well, at least that was fixed to make us look better. You looked worse.
But let's be honest, Dave. Let's be honest, though, Dave. If Adam Gase is drawing up adjustments at halftime, if you're a player on that Jets offense, do you think any of that's going to work?
Probably not.
Exactly. So, I mean, we can talk about halftime adjustments all we want. But if your team doesn't have any confidence that you're going to go out there and be productive, whether it's offense, defense, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Greg Williams can draw up the most elaborate defensive schemes he wants. But if your offense can't score any points, guess what? No matter how hard your defense plays, you're probably not going to win any games.
I'm going to need Bradley McDougal to keep his mouth shut for the rest of the season, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't whiff like that on fourth and goal in the hole, unblocked.
That was the game. That was
unblocked.
That was the nail in the coffin. That touchdown was the nail in the coffin.
But here's the thing, Rick. The defensive line actually got some push on that play.
Yes.
Like, they got some penetration on that play. Like, he had a chance to stop him. All you got to do is thud him up and wait for the cavalry to arrive. He doesn't get into the end zone. You're just going to whiff. You're going to dive out there and hope you trip him. Come on, man. After you criticizing the coach talking about our practices don't have enough effort, we don't have enough urgency, and you go out there and do that?
But
yeah,
see, Dave,
Bradley McDougal needs to keep his mouth shut for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's done. He's dead to me. But this is exactly why coaching in the NFL of all the major sports is the most important. Because if you don't believe in what the coaching staff is selling you, and you don't feel like you go into a game with the opportunity to win – the nature of football, you're going to see efforts like this. Because, I mean, you have to make a decision to go. Like, football players have to make a decision because of what they're putting on the line to go out there and play this game.
Oh, yeah, you're in harm's way every single play.
Every single play.
Yeah.
I was saying it to my wife. How crazy is any sport where there's a there's a golf cart on duty just to take you off the field in case of an injury?
I didn't think about it like that, but that's true.
On call.
Yeah,
like at some point during this game, someone's going to be so hurt that we're going to have to cart them off, so just be ready.
I can't even be mad for Mekhi Becton tapping out yesterday. Can't even be mad.
You just hope
that was it. Once he went down and they put McDermott in, it was a wrap.
Now I will say this. Watching him play football is fun, man. Like, he was out there toying with Justin Houston. It looked like me playing with my brother's kids. that's what it looked like. Like, there was nothing that – like, Mekhi Becton locked him out. Nothing Justin Houston could do. On that touchdown throw that Sam had, nothing Justin Houston could do. It was unbelievable, Dave.
You have
I mean, this guy, I don't know how.
Bright spot, right? You have one bright spot that you look at and say, all right, at least we have that. And even that, can't make it through the game. And you don't know if he's going to be available for Thursday or the coming week.
At this point, Dave, the way they're playing, I don't want him to go out there. I just want him to be healthy for whoever your next quarterback and head coach is.
God, week three.
Seriously. I don't need to see anything more from Mekhi Becton. I know he can play. It's the rest of the roster we got to worry about.
We're 3 weeks into the NFL season, and we're here already. All right, Rick, do you want to do a frenzy or no?
I would love to do a frenzy. I would love to do it. And, Dave, just by the way, just before we go to break, this is what happens when you hire a coach that hasn't had previous success or a track record of success. Because normally if you had and he wasn't so bad last season, you could take emotion out of it for a second and look at this team and all the injuries and everything else and say to yourself, man, I mean, how are you supposed to win with this kind of talent? But you can't give Adam Gase can't get that benefit of the doubt at this point.
He gets no benefit of any doubt. Nothing. He's bad. He's a terrible head coach, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be.
Especially when I got to watch Kyle Shanahan do what he did against the Giants.
Right. Showed them up.
He embarrassed them with the backup quarterback. Embarrassed you guys.
Yeah, I saw it. Thank you. I witnessed it. Today on ESPN Daily, through three NFL Sundays, only a handful of teams remain undefeated. The great Bill Barnwell breaks down their success and sizes up tonight's Mahomes-Jackson dream matchup on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN. No salutations. Hey, how you guys doing? You know we're not doing well. You know we're miserable after watching these two teams. Yesterday, Penske starts us out on Twitter. Would Dan Orlovsky's 0-16 Lions beat this year's Adam Gase-led New York Jets? Rick, what say you?
It'd be a pillow fight. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, this team right now is currently constituted. I mean,
they're
the worst team in the NFL.
They certainly could.
They wouldn't be given points.
Did you see what the spread is on Thursday, by the way?
I don't want to.
The Broncos are only 3-point favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Isn't it?
I feel like there's value in the Broncos if they're only laying three.
I mean, listen, the Broncos aren't good, but at least they're functional.
At least Jeff the Broncos have looked yesterday. Competitive. The Jets haven't looked competitive.
No. Well, because they haven't been competitive. They've been blown out of three games.
That's my point. So, I mean.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a real test on Thursday, though, because I'm telling you right now, guys have seen that Chris Mortensen report. Like, guys know.
That he's on the way out?
That what happens on Thursday will dictate whether or not he stays for the time being. And if you see a team that just doesn't look interested at all on Thursday and gets beat by Denver,
Denver played yesterday late afternoon. Now they have to travel all the way here. They're 0-3. They have a backup quarterback. Their best defensive player is out. Best wide receiver is out. If you get hammered at home by Denver, I mean,
he's going to get fired. I'm telling you, he's going to. If they lose Denver, he's going to get fired.
So you think any loss? You think last second field goal by McManus, 17-16 final score Friday, he's out.
Yes.
I think if they didn't play on Thursday, after what happened yesterday, if this was a full week, that he would probably have gotten fired today, I would say.
Well, let's go to Ronald in Newark. Ronald, you are next up. First up, really, on the frenzy.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Quick question.
Come on, Ronald. Get right to it.
Will do. Who are the best coaching candidates for the New York Jets?
Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm sitting here reading a tweet that actually makes me angry, which doesn't usually happen, and it's not even about me. You didn't see this yet. So I'm here looking at Twitter. Peter Schrager decided it was a good idea just to mock me. Josh Allen over his last 14 games. That's the Buffalo Bills quarterback. Everyone listen. 32 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Oh, my God. He's plus 29.
And what does Kirk Herbstreit say? I mean, he's one of the best in the business. All he does is watch college football.
Right.
Give the Buffalo Bills tons of credit. Organization has done an excellent job putting talented pieces around him in his offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll deserves a lot of credit for the weekly plan. Brian has ridiculous coaching pedigree and is successful. Going to be a head coach very soon.
I think that's very accurate. Ryan, Hinkie Haynes wants to know, Chris, will the Giants win 3 or more games this season?
I have a hard time seeing it. 8-Ball says doubtful. I don't see them winning more than three games. Could they win three games? Maybe.
So you're looking at the upside. We're three games in, and you're looking at the upside and saying if things go well for the Giants, they can win three games.
Well, who are they beating? I mean, you're talking about them beating somebody in their division. Maybe Washington?
Maybe.
Maybe Philadelphia? I mean, that's it. I mean, Dave, they're not beating Cincinnati. They're not beating Cincinnati.
I told you, Burrow looks terrific. Yeah.
They're not going to beat Cleveland. They're not going to beat Arizona. They're not going to beat Dallas. Who are they beating? They're not going to beat Tampa. So who are they beating?
No, you're right. Washington. And you say Philly? Philly will beat the Giants. Philly's better than the Giants.
Dave, I'm grasping at straws. The person asked me, could they win three or more games? I'm saying the upside is three. At their best, they'll win three games. Dave, this is not hyperbole. The Giants are a 2-14, 1-15 team.
Oh, my God.
What happens? We haven't even broached this conversation yet. I don't even want to do it, just that, but it's already out there with the whole Trevor Lawrence fiasco, like if the Jets have the first overall pick. What if the Jets and the Giants are the two worst teams in the NFL? Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman. Justin Fields is the runner-up, and the Jets and Giants have the first and second overall picks.
We'll have two new quarterbacks in New York.
And you just trade these guys for pennies on the dollar?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's what happens.
You talk about malpractice. Jim and Somers. Jim, you're on the frenzy.
It pains me to say it as a Giants fan. I love him to death, but if we're going to admit that we're doing this wrong, how many picks do you think is possible if we were to think about trading Saquon? If we have to,
how are you going
to
trade Saquon?
You're not going to trade him. You can't.
How
trade
could
him.
You
You're
possibly trade him?
You're not going to get value.
You just had a devastating knee injury. Yeah, let's give two number ones for
well,
a guy.
Well, listen.
Coming off.
Listen. This is the only way it can happen. If you guys do fire Gettleman, and he gets a job somewhere else.
Well, he does love the running back.
He'll trade for Saquon.
He does love the running back. All right, we said it earlier. I just want to repeat this so you guys think this is true. Ms. 2-0 says, if the Giants have the first overall pick, do you think they take Trevor Lawrence?
Yes. Yes. Whoever has the first overall pick, if they have any questions about their quarterback, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence.
That's just what's going to happen. Which is amazing. You could take a quarterback two. Well, I mean, listen, the Cardinals set the blueprint for it, right? But you could take a quarterback first overall.
Yeah, but that
overall.
Was the perfect storm, Dave. I mean, you hired a head coach who actually on the record say that if he was a coach in the NFL, he would draft Kyler Murray with the first overall pick. And it turns out they had the first overall pick, and he was the head coach.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, I know they lost yesterday. Did you see that move Kyler Murray put on Jeff Okuda on that touchdown run?
He's a different speed, dude.
Oh, my God.
It's like his feet are in fast forward.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Lou wants to know, which New York team wins first?
It better be the Jets on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because if they don't win on
the
Thursday.
Jets have the Jets have the closest opportunity by virtue of the schedule. Yeah.
If you can't win Thursday and you're the Jets, I don't know when you do win. Because you can't imagine you're going to beat Arizona. You're probably not going to beat the Chargers. You're certainly not going to beat the Bills. God knows you're never going to beat the Chiefs. Then the Patriots come to town. Like, if you don't win Thursday, I don't even know. I guess maybe the Dolphins in mid-November?
No, you don't. Not in Miami, no. You don't get a win.
The week after?
If you don't win on Thursday, you don't get a win before the bye week.
Which then brings you to the end of November.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, Chris and Rick, if you don't win Thursday, how do you win a game this year?
I don't know, Dave. I'm looking at it. I don't know.
Because of the Jets, and they'll win some like second half of the season. They'll win a couple meaningless games,
and then we'll say how awful that was, and people will say no, that's good for the future of the franchise.
You know what it is,
God,
Dave.
Daniel Jones with an extra touchdown pass.
The Raiders coming to the Jets in December. They'll win that one.
Explain to me. This drives me crazy. How it was good the Giants beat Washington last year, and how it would be good for the Jets to win games late stages of the season. It's not good.
Does you no good.
It was good for his confidence because, you know, that carries over.
Oh, carried right over. The 6-2 second half carried over, and that huge win against Washington carried over. It's great stuff. Derek in Brooklyn.
You want to know what the crazy part is? And I hate to even go back to this, but I remember having a conversation with Canty when the Jets were picking the head coach. And you had McCarthy and you had Matt Rhule. And it sounded like everyone agreed that they liked Matt Rhule. But the second they told Matt Rhule that, you know, Greg Williams is going to be a defensive coordinator, he said, no, I'm not interested in that. And then no one Mike McCarthy. And then the second they hired Adam Gase in and put him with Greg Williams. I know we had the conversation saying, at what point does Greg Williams become the interim head coach?
Yes, we had that conversation.
Yes. It looks like it's only going to take 4 weeks into season two.
Yep.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me.
I don't even know what to say at this point. Derek in Brooklyn, you're on the frenzy, Derek.
Hey, how you? Hello?
Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, listen, man. It's so pathetic with these New York football teams.
Rapid fire, Derek. Move quickly.
I'd rather watch a fly eat than to watch a
New York team. All right, Derek, quickly means quick to the question. Right to the question, Derek.
Quick to the question, just the question. I think that the problem with the New York teams is the coach. Because, like, when they came, they never threatened anybody. It's like they must have came in and said, who's the starters? Okay, let's go get
All right, Derek, we can't continue. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah.
We're trying to rapid fire here, and he just can't.
It has nothing to do with threatening anybody. It just has to do with holding people accountable, making people do their job. It's upholding a standard. Well, first of all, you got to establish a standard, and then you try to uphold it. It didn't happen with the Jets. We were making a point last year when they started 1-7. They probably need to think about firing a head coach. But no, they had this 6-2 second half, and everybody said, okay, this is what they're going to be moving forward. No, they're not. They're bad. Adam Gase is not a very good head coach. We knew that before he got the job. And now you're burning another season because you're chasing after the potential of what Adam Gase could be as a quarterback whisperer.
Dylan Driscoll wants to know, does the NFC East winner have a record above 500?
I think the Cowboys are a 500 team.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
They'll coast to a playoff spot.
If Dallas goes 500, they will win this division.
Yeah, Dallas is going to win this division regardless, Dave. Who else is going to win it?
No, I mean, the Giants are going to win two or maybe three games. Washington is not going to win a lot. Philadelphia stinks. I mean, I would even argue Dallas could go 7-9 and comfortably win this division.
Dallas is going to win the division. Dallas is going to sleepwalk into the playoffs.
You want to know what my real hope is? Is that the Giants keep Dave Gettleman. The Giants have the second worst record in the NFL, and they turn around and draft Travis Etienne out of Clemson.
Come on, man.
What is the matter with you?
Ricky's not wrong. You know why Ricky's not wrong? Because we all said that was a mistake when he drafted Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick. And how many Giants fans did we have calling the station saying that we were idiots?
Forget about them.
Do we look stupid now?
He was defiant. He poked fun at everybody. Oh, he's touched by the hand of God. He wouldn't even pick up the phone. If you called him and offered him a package that we've never seen before, he wouldn't even have picked up the phone. He laughed at that.
Yeah.
Generational talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Touched by the hand of God, touched by Eddie Jackson out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think there's a class action lawsuit for that, too.
I don't know what to say. Let's end the frenzy on that note.
What is wrong with you?
There's a lot.
You have a problem, Rico.
He really does.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Of course, the home for the MLB playoffs and the Yankees run for the World Series. Tuesday, 9:29. That's tomorrow. Yankees-Indians Game 1 in Cleveland. Coverage for that one starts immediately following the Michael Kay Show. Wednesday, 9:30, Yankees-Indians Game 2 in Cleveland. Coverage immediately following the Michael Kay Show. We're also the home of the NBA Finals. Game 1 Wednesday, this Wednesday, 9:30. Lakers-Heat. 8:30 p.m. tip on 10:50 a.m. And Thursday, Jets Broncos kicks off right here, 8:20 on 98.7 ESPN. So quite a sports week. Chris, your Yankees, as Rick said earlier, limped to the finish line of the season, but the second season starts tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, with quite the pitching matchup. Gerrit Cole and Justin Bieber.
Yep, and Aaron Judge already trying to set the tone, saying anything else doesn't matter. Whatever happened to get them to this point doesn't matter. It's all about the postseason. It's all about trying to go on a run and get to the World Series. So we'll see what happens. I will tell you this. I don't like the matchup, and Rick said it last week. This is probably the toughest matchup of the three teams that we thought were a possibility. And I get it. The Indians don't score a lot of runs, but they don't allow a lot of runs either. You're talking about them giving up the fewest runs in baseball this year. So this is the classic, you know, good pitching. Whether or not it can shut down good hitting, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, this is going to be This is going to be a tough out.
I can't wait for this, though. Playoff baseball, you kidding me?
Oh, how about what we have? We have four games tomorrow. We have eight games on Wednesday.
No, I mean, buckle up. And this is going to be, I mean, it was a weird 60 games, but now this is when the good stuff starts. And to Chris's point, I mean, pitching-wise, this is a tough matchup for the Yankees hitters. But as far as the Yankees pitchers going up against this offense,
yeah, they're very weak offensively, Cleveland.
Yeah, outside of like Jose Ramirez, you got Frankie Lindor, you know, Reyes. I mean, this is not daunting. But we'll just see what this lineup can do against great pitching, because they've struggled in the past. It's really what it comes down to. I mean, that's been their biggest deficiency over the last couple of years. That hasn't taken them to that next level. Is when you go up against upper echelon pitching, there's some holes in this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the part that scares me is the guys you're going to rely on. I know it's the second season, and we forget what happened in the past. Well, I mean, you know, baseball, there is something to be said about being locked in at the right time. And there aren't,
I agree with that.
And there aren't many guys in this lineup right now that are locked in at the moment.
No. You trust LeMahieu.
You trust LeMahieu, but I mean, Boyd had a good season. But, I mean, you know, outside of that.
Yeah, no, Stanton's not playing great. Judge not playing great. Torres has not been great. Sanchez has been bad.
Gardner's been good, and now you have a decision to make. I mean, do you put the lefty in against the righty? Do you have him playing left field instead of Frazier? Because he's swinging the bat well. See, baseball is the one sport, like we're trying, you know, the Jets, the 6-2 is going to carry. No, it's not going to carry over. But, I mean, no. There's something to be said. Like, when you're seeing the ball well, that carries over. And right now, there's not too many up and down that lineup. I know by name it's a deep lineup, but as far as results are concerned, I mean, it hasn't been great. And the defense hasn't been great.
No.
So, I mean, those are things that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose game one and you're staring at needing to win two in a row on the road against the Cleveland Indians, I mean, game one is huge.
Yeah, but see, that's what pissed me off about the Yankees. I get it. We want everyone healthy. But let's not be ignorant to the fact you're a much better team at home. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to give yourself the best opportunity to win in advance, like, have some urgency in your game. Try to have these three games at Yankee Stadium where you're clearly, for some reason, a better team.
I mean, I agree with you. It did not matter to them. Rick, they were a couple of runs away from playing Oakland in this series.
No, I know, but that aggravates me. If I was a Yankees fan, that would aggravate me. Like, what do you have to be so cocky about at this point?
We'll see if they can flip the switch, because it all starts tomorrow at 7.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.